always puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba here on the Weekend Morning Show, where we say good morning to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Hello, Gordon.
Good morning, Nolan.
So last week you gave us a hint for something very topical for something about to happen in our province. Remind us what we're talking about today.
Well, hopefully everyone knows that in 2 days, Manitobans are going to go to the polls to elect a new government. I've sifted through reams of old election data so we could talk this week about past Manitoba elections in which the winner was determined by razor-thin margins. Sometimes the difference between two candidates amounted to single digits. Sometimes a winner was declared on the basis of a single vote. There have even been a couple of ties.
The I voted sticker that I'm wearing on my shirt this morning feels a lot more weighty, just given what you've said, the importance of it for one single vote. That is remarkable. I mean, first of all, where did you find this old election data?
People can go to the Elections Manitoba website, where they'll find data on all of the general elections, all of the by-elections held since 1999. It does also have historical data from before 1999, but it is missing such details as the names of all the candidates who ran. They basically list just the person who won. They don't list the party affiliations of those candidates either. I wanted to know this information, so I asked the librarians at the Legislative Library of Manitoba what they had. Well, I suppose I shouldn't have been too surprised that they did have quite a lot of information. They gave me files that contained photocopies. Now, they weren't entirely legible, so it was a bit of work to see them. Handwritten election records, you know, going back right to 1870. Just a treasure trove of information. And so I transcribed all of the data into computer files, and that allowed me to put it online. People can go to the Manitoba Historical Society website at mhs.ca/elections, and they will find a complete set of all of the elections, all the candidates, everything. I even cross-referenced the names of candidates to biographical information. If we knew something about these candidates, we could provide that as well. We have the number of votes that were cast for each party, each candidate. We're available. We even have the name of the returning officer in each constituency. And in fact, the returning officers often play a key role, as we'll learn shortly. And because I now have all this election data going right back over 150 years, and it's in digital form, I could sort it in a way that would allow me to calculate the margins of victory.
And that's where you found these narrow margins of victory, and even the ties that you alluded to earlier. Mm-hmm. How many ties have we had in provincial elections?
Exactly two. The first one occurred in 1874. There were two candidates in what was known as the Kildonan constituency, John Sutherland, John Fraser. Each man drew exactly 49 votes. In other words, there were only 98 votes in total. So, the probability of a tie, not especially, bad. But a more interesting case, I think, was the tie that occurred in 1973 in the Crescentwood constituency. Well, of course, by this time, there were many more votes. There were three candidates. Over 9,000 votes were cast, and the two most favorite candidates, Harvey Patterson and Laurie Pollard, each tied at, now get this, 3,729 votes each. I mean, what's the chance?
So specific. So what happens then when a provincial vote is tied?
Well, in the case of the Crescentwood tie, the outcome was in doubt for several days. The original count that had awarded the victory to Patterson with 57 votes of majority. But a recount was done and it produced the tie. The ultimate deciding vote then was given to the returning officer and he voted for Patterson. In those days, the standard procedure was for the returning officer to cast the deciding vote. But this is different today because, well, there were concerns about how this could lead to partisanship. Because at that time, The returning officers were selected by the cabinet of the ruling party. So, you know, maybe they were people that had, you know, partisan leanings. Today, as of 2001, the returning officers are actually appointed by the chief electoral officer. So there's at least a possibility of neutrality. And incidentally, another change that came in 2001 is that ties are no longer broken by a single vote. And instead, they automatically trigger a by-election. So in other words, the returning officer no longer plays any role in deciding it. But if we go back to the 1973 election again, this close election in Crescent View was not the only unusual aspect.
What was the other one?
Well, okay, so we had one that was won by a single vote, and we had two other constituencies that were determined by single digits. In other words, less than 10 vote difference. In Wolseley, Izzy Asper beat Murdoch Mackay by 4 votes. And in St. Boniface, Joseph Marion defeated Larry Desjardins by a single vote again. So
wow.
In other words, there were two single vote elections. This one was 4,301 versus 4,300. It's a real nail biter. When the initial tally was announced, Marion led Desjardins by 18 votes. Then they counted the votes by people that had stayed in hospital. In other words, they weren't included in the original tally. And when they did this, this reduced Marion's lead to just 7 votes. So it hadn't changed the outcome yet. But this was so close that it triggered a judicial recount in which Desjardins was declared the winner by 1 vote. And again, this time cast again by the returning officer.
Wow.
Marion, he appealed to the Manitoba Court of Appeal and was awarded the victory. And again, it was by a margin of just 1 vote. So dutifully, Marion assumed his seat in the legislature. He figures, you know, okay, I'm the MLA. But in late 1974, you know, barely a year later, 2 judges of the Court of Queen's Bench voided his election due to procedural irregularities. Now, it's subtle, and I don't really want to go into them, but boy, if anybody's interested, you can go and find out exactly what they thought had been done wrong. And the only recourse they felt was going to be valid was to hold a new by-election. And so the same 2 candidates, Marion and Desjardins, were on the ballots again. But this time, the outcome was not in doubt. It wasn't close. Desjardins was declared the winner with a 600-vote margin, and he took Marion's place in the legislature. But the original 1973 single-vote victory is not the only one through history. In other words, there have been others. So again, I went through all those historical elections, and my analysis showed that there actually have been 10 elections determined by a single vote. And if you want to go further, I found 4 elections that were won by 2 votes, 4 elections that were won by 3 votes, 6 by 4 votes, 6 by 5 votes, 2 by 6 votes, 7 by 7 votes, 8 by 8 votes, 4 by 9 votes. Well, in total, 53 provincial elections have been decided by fewer than 10 votes. But perhaps just as interesting were those elections that were decided by no votes at all, you know, where a candidate was acclaimed, not elected, to a seat in the legislature.
So acclamation is, that's where there's just a single candidate running in the constituency. That's something that we maybe see more at the municipal level in a more rural context here in Manitoba.
Indeed we do. Of course, in many municipal elections, even today, the entire council may be returned to office, and not just once, sometimes numerous successive elections, you know, the same group of people is brought back into council. So it's common at the municipal level, but it's a rare occurrence at the provincial level, at least today. I went back and looked through this data to figure out, when did the last provincial acclamation occur in a provincial election? It occurred 70 years ago, in 1953. So a long time that we've had no acclamations. In fact, through the entire 20th century, fewer than 6% of constituencies in any general election were filled by acclamation. It's just not a common occurrence at the provincial level. In striking contrast, though, if you go back further than the 20th century, if you go back to the 19th century, from the 1870s to the 1890s, actually acclamation was pretty common, even provincially. There was one election in 1870, the first election in Manitoba, 38% of the elections weren't elections. They were acclamations. So, you know, really striking. But the other really striking detail I find really fascinating is in the 1940s. You know, as many as 29% of the seats in the 1940s were filled without an election. Now, I have to admit, I'm no political scientist, so I haven't thought deeply about what's going on. But, you know, this was a period, the 1940s, when politicians such as John Bracken, he was Manitoba's longest-serving premier, strived for non-partisanship in government operations. They saw that as a virtue, you know, to people to just get along, don't worry about ideological differences, just get things done. And Bracken's cabinet, for example, included representatives of several other parties in addition to his own. So it was truly, they had parties, but they engaged everyone in governmental decision-making. You know, it wasn't until 1949, with the election of future Premier Duff Roblin, that party politics began to return to provincial elections. So the 1940s really stand out, not just in terms of acclamations, because it went as high as 29%, but in terms of just the number of votes being cast.
How has the number of people voting changed throughout the years?
Well, this is what interested me in this old data as well. So I went through the old data and calculated the percentage of eligible voters who actually voted in provincial elections. And I was able to get data from 1892 to 2019. And what I found surprised me. It's really varied a lot. The high was 87%. 87% of eligible voters voted in 1903. That was the high point. The low point was, well, again, in the 1940s, 41%. Less than half of people voted. The average over that whole period from 1892 to 2019, 66%. Roughly two-thirds.
Right.
But there is a disturbing trend, at least I think it is, that the percentage has been dropping since that 1973 election we talked about earlier. At that time, it was 78%, so pretty good, 4 in 5 people. In the 2019 election, our most recent one, it was just 55%, barely more than half of the eligible voters. I guess the only comfort I can take from it is it's still higher than it was during the 1940s when, you know, it was the lowest point at any time in Manitoba's history during that period of the Second World War when it never rose above 51%. So, you know, at least we can take comfort from that it's better now than it was then, but it's still very low relative to what it could be.
But again, balancing that bipartisanship and perhaps people serving overseas, that could have driven the lower voter engagement at that time.
At that time. Not so much an excuse today.
Exactly. Yeah. Gordon, what should listeners take from all of these historical election results?
Well, going back to your sticker, Nolan, you know, you say you voted. I mean, anyone who feels that their vote will not make a difference should, I think, reflect on these many close elections that have happened in the past and therefore exercise their democratic right by heading to the polls on Tuesday. You know, in my view, eligible voters who do not vote have no right to complain if they don't like the decisions that are made by the elected provincial government. So, my advice, get out there, everybody, and vote on Tuesday.
Absolutely. This time next week, Gordon, we're going to have a new government in place and we'll have a new subject for Abandoned Manitoba. So what is up for next week?
We're getting away from politics now and we're getting into restrooms. You know, over the past few years, community advocates here in Winnipeg have been pushing for the installation of public restrooms in downtown areas of the city, you know, to give people a place to go, right? Well, next week, we're going to consider an entirely different type of restroom that was once common, now gone, in many towns around rural Manitoba. But one former restroom still stands in Napinka.
From the voting stall to the bathroom stall, Gordon Goldsboro, thank you so much for joining us, and looking forward to hearing that next week.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.